Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we take a look inside the Republican Assembly Caucus.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Senator Randy Turner from Reno. We're going to be talking about his passion topics, including making sure all the kids can read by the time they leave third grade.
And coming upon the Power Pundit panel today, Helen Foley, Guy Rocha, and John Sandy IV. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
Just about everything in our lives is happening faster. Instead of just keeping up, Envy Energy plans ahead so that Nevada families have the energy they need now and well into the future.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program Assemblyman Randy Kerner, Washoe District 26, and a Republican. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
First of all, let's start out with six of your Senate colleagues are kind of in disagreement with the Assembly colleagues. Where are you agreeing? That's the big question.
Oh, interesting question. You know, right now, of course, the issue that we're talking about is mining. And I think, generally speaking, we are agreeing on education initiatives, on I had a PERS initiative, and I think we were in agreement on PERS initiative. So there are a number of areas that we're agreeing on, and let's hope they stick.
Okay, but now the PERS thing has already gone away, correct?
Yes. I got word the other day that they will not be hearing PERS. It was in Ways and Means, and that was AB 342, and it has gone away.
Is it a ghost bill? Is there a chance that it could come back in the end of the session?
Well, you know, it's never done till it's done, you know, and I suspect that this probably will not come back. It'll be, the governor has a study going. If folks are interested in hearing what the study has to say, and so maybe in our next session we'll have an opportunity to bring it forward again.
And it seems that we talked to Speaker Kirkpatrick about a week and a half ago, and she said that what she wants to do is get things done that can be done during this session and leave everything else for study in the interim.
Right. And the reforms on PERS, as an example, was a major initiative. And so that lends itself to an interim kind of operation.
Well, Randy, when we're talking about PERS, of course, we're talking about the public employees retirement system. And you brought this bill forward because PERS is in bad shape. If you could tell us why PERS reform is so important.
Well, I think there are a number of factors that lend themselves to that issue. The first is that PERS has an unfunded liability of about $11.2 billion. That's with a B. And just 10 years ago, it was $3.2 billion. So over the period of a decade, it's grown by almost $800 million a year. The return on investment is projected at 8%. most financial experts will tell you in a new economy, 8% is unrealistic. And so we're talking about funding retirement for our valued teachers, our valued civil servants, and continuing to fund those that are already retired. And the money might not be there. And so I'm concerned that we don't end up in a situation like many of the California cities. We can't file bankruptcy, but where we simply just don't have the money to pay out what we've promised. And we owe that, and we should take care of that obligation.
But in the bigger picture, you really want to see the whole thing changed in the way that we give benefits.
I do want to see it change, because I think as we go forward, we can't continue to build this unfunded liability. So we need to restructure it in a way that we can financially support our employees.
What do you think, though, when you look at the Clark County Commission, they just gave themselves a 10% raise?
I didn't know that.
What kind of signal is that?
That's not a good one. Maybe we should give some of our legislators a raise. I don't know.
Don't bring that up, because that's not going to fly.
No, I know that. Well, I don't really want to go there.
Okay, but Randy, PERS is one of your passion topics, but two other passion topics that are still alive and very well in the legislature is, number one, your Read by Three initiative,
yes,
which mirrors what the governor wants, and that is for every Nevada public school student to be able to read by the end of third grade. And, of course, two, you want to change the proficiency exams that allow students to graduate from high school. Let's start first with Read by Three. And one of the things that I'm concerned about Read by Three, you want kids to read by three, but then again, Republicans are opposed to class size reduction. It seems like that's the yin and the yang of this 1-3 grading. Why no support for class size reduction?
Well, yeah, I think there will be some support for class size reduction. I don't think it's top of the priority list. I think you have ELLs is the top of the priority list. Mm-hmm. I think you have full-day kindergarten is something that the governor has expressed some interest in and put his foot in the water, if you will, on that. So I think there's a limited amount of money, and it's a matter of focusing it where we go. If we had the money and we were inclined to move towards class sizes, I think that might be something of interest to many of my constituents.
I just see many educators say that you can't have a successful Read by Three program until you reduce those class sizes, which I know is a very, very expensive proposition.
Well, there is a fiscal note on it, and it's in the range of $12 to $20 million, so that's not unsubstantial at all. But there's parts of it that overlap with the governor's EL initiatives, and that does involve reducing class sizes. But you learn to read by third grade, and then after third grade you read to learn. And so this is an initiative that we know that if kids are not able to read by the third grade, completion of the third grade, then they're four times more likely not to finish high school. And then you need to think about what that means to our state and the economy and just going forward. You have too many kids that won't have, young people that won't have their high school diploma.
But how does this play out in a state where you have so many English as a second language learners?
Well, you have to focus on it, and I think the governor is doing that. Clearly, we have so many students that live in poverty or that are not English-speaking students, and so we have to focus on that. And by the way, I think that's not just the lower grades. I think that's all the way through school. But where you learn best is in your lower grades.
Okay, now let's go to the proficiency exams. Now you take a proficiency exam. You can take it as early as a sophomore in high school. And you pass this proficiency exam as a sophomore or junior, it seems like you can skate the rest of your time in high school. And does this lead to the many former high school students who are in remedial courses at the University of Nevada and UNLV?
Well, clearly the high school proficiency exam has no correlation whatsoever to being ready for career or college. And so the notion that we should test students so that we can see if they're really proficient and have all the proficiency they need to graduate high school is nonsense. The test has lived past its time, and it's time to get rid of that proficiency exam. And And our proposal, and by the way, this is one that we have reached across the aisle, and I've worked with Assemblyman Flores and Assemblyman Don Duraloop.
Mm-hmm.
And we've put together a bill that would eliminate the high school proficiency exam, replace it with end-of-course tests. At the
final
end of,
exams.
Like finals, like we used to take in the old days. And but also an assessment. So in the 11th grade, we do an assessment. Whether we haven't decided, in school, it's up to the board to decide, the board, State Board of Education. The assessment would be designed to say, well, where is a person short in their learning so that in their senior year they can address these things before they graduate. So when they graduate, they are in fact high school proficient and they are ready to go out into the world or go to, on to college, so that we're not having college professors teach high school classes, parents paying for college classes that don't count towards a graduation, and the student wasting time.
But are they, you know, and this is the irony, because, you know, just from a common sense point of view, you have to think, okay, you're going to have a seamless system of you go to high school, you graduate, you're ready for college, you move on. But remedial education is not really remedial high school education. It's remedial education for you to be able to move forward with college. And in all the educators I've talked to, they say you're never going to fix this problem.
Well, I don't think this is the, you know, the answer to end all kind of the thing, but it's a step in the right direction. Clearly where we are is not in the right direction.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Randy Kerner when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Republican Assemblyman Randy Kerner. So the Democrats are already discussing how after we get the Economic Forum numbers, they're going to drop in their tax plans. Have there been discussions between the Democrats and the Republican caucuses so that this doesn't come as a bomb and perhaps you can move forward together in this?
Well, you know, trust me, there's not been those conversations. In fact, when we talked about other initiatives that require funding, we asked the question, well, how are you going to pay for this? And, well, we'll see. We don't know yet. It's coming together. So the answer is no.
Well, the modified business tax increase, potentially, entertainment tax that would encompass more areas. Just a brief answer on what your thoughts are on those.
Well, we're hearing them in the taxation. There have been no decisions, so we'll wait and see.
You know, Randy, another thing for our Washoe County viewers and listeners is this Washoe school tax bill, which where they're trying to get $20 million a year to fix dilapidated schools. As you know, you're from Washoe County, and a lot of those schools are in bad shape. This thing is taken so many forms. The latest that you suggested is to pass it out of here as the legislature as enabling legislation and let the Washoe County Commission decide if it, with an up or down vote, if this is going to pass this this Washoe tax bill, or give it to the voters, which we know that doesn't work. Where does this stand?
Well, AB 46 is the bill that you're referring to, and we heard it in taxation here a few weeks ago.
Right.
And my comment then, and I stand by that, is that I have constituents that oppose it, and I have constituents that support it, and I stand with my constituents.
but on what grounds are people opposing it?
Well, largely the opposers, the people that oppose it, come from Incline Village or they're senior citizens. And if they come from Incline Village, you know, they're going through they've gone through the so-called tax revolt up there, and now they see this, okay, now we've gone through that, we've made it successful, but now they're going to come back and tax us. I think the older population, senior citizens, are just concerned about property taxes in general. You know, so I recognize that the need is there. There clearly is a need. I don't know if $20 million does it. I know that it's not sunset it, and I think those are concerns for some of our legislators. I don't know that we have the two-thirds that is needed in either the Assembly or the Senate to pass the bill.
Well, I don't think you do either, but if
which
you,
is why
you pass it as an enabling legislation.
Which is, and we have a number of things. We, you know, we have the so-called COP tax. We have the
Clark County,
and we have the indexing for fuel taxes. Again, those go out to the county. So why wouldn't this be an appropriate thing to take to the county commissioners as well, and let them vote up and down, or if they decide, send it to the voters.
Okay, and that's where we got to leave it. Randy, thank you so much for being here with this morning. We really appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Thank you.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Some people say personal injury claims are all about the money. Well, they're right. It is about the money to help salvage a decent life caused by another person's carelessness.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
When you're dealing with a gigantic chain,
they don't care who you are, they don't know your name.
At grocery outlets, they're independently run,
so you get the attention you need,
and that's way more.
Over the years, Class Act has recognized some amazing kids doing wonderful things in our community. Hi, I'm Shelby Sheehan of News 4. If you know a young person who unselfishly gives to others, send us a brief description of their positive contributions. They could be this month's Class Act Award winner. We go to their school where they receive a plaque and a special honor on News 4. News 4's Class Act, a proud partnership with United Federal Credit Union, Reno Aces Baseball, and Circus Circus.
Nearly 24 million people in the United States have diabetes, and one out of four people who have diabetes don't even know they have it. Talk with your doctor. Don't delay.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Guy Rocha is here, the former Nevada State Archivist, Helen Foley, partner with Festfali Warren, and John Sandy IV, attorney and lobbyist with Fenimore Craig Jones Vargas. Pleasure to have you all here. So, Guy, it is the day of the Economic Forum as we're taping this. Your thoughts on what the numbers might look like?
I think the numbers will meet or exceed projections by large amounts. But I think there'll be some optimism. I think the sales tax numbers will help push it above that. I mean, that's the good news. The bad news, they're going to fight over the little bit of money that's above and beyond projections, because it's not going to be enough for what everybody wants. But the trend line is a positive one. I argue that, you know, the word prosperity will be used perhaps in another 2 years, but not this day.
Helen, you know, even if there is excess money, does it all end up going to education when there are so many other needs the state has?
Education is definitely the number one issue. And within education, it is English language learning. It's unbelievable the demand that we have. I was reading an article where the state of Florida has about $4,500 per student for English language learning, and we have $150 per student. There's no way that Southern Nevada or the rest of the state can keep up with that without giving additional dollars to that effort.
John, your thoughts?
Well, I think definitely education is politically the most likely source for any additional revenues. But I think, obviously, I think to your point, there's obviously clearly a lot of need out there. I think mental health is something that has gained a lot of attention, and we could obviously divert some of those resources to mental health as well.
But do you hear any tangible solutions to the mental health issues we have in the state? Because everybody says, you know, we want to do more for mental health.
Well, I think that obviously we have way too few beds in this state to handle the number of people that are suffering from mental health issues. And beds are expensive, and hospitals are expensive, and I don't think there is a political wherewithal to engage that kind of capital that would require for that, but there might be some other solutions that could result.
You know, taking a look at this economic forum, I got it handicapped. The money that they're going to come up with is the range. It's either going to be less than $100 million in new money or up to as much as $300 million in new money, and that's where it stands. Actually, that's not a lot. So we're talking about education, ELL, we're talking about mental health. It's going to get sucked up by like a sponge. It's almost, I mean, it's not enough really to help any of our major problems in Nevada.
Well, and let's not forget our transportation and infrastructure. I mean, the Sun just ran some more articles again saying how poorly funded the roads are in Clark County, and obviously they could use that $300 million wouldn't go very far.
Well, that's the gas tax that they're talking about, and this is the Democrats' point. Okay, we're going to have maybe $300 million in new money. That's not enough for anything, and once these economic forum numbers come out, that's when the Democrats are going to come out with their defined tax plan, which could include a lot of things. I mean, the new people paying the modified business tax, the loopholes on the entertainment tax. I could go on and on.
Well,
with
let's go to Helen and ask her for her thoughts on that.
Well, I do think that many proposals will come out. I think the entertainment tax with the live entertainment, such as Burning Man or Electric Daisy, will be very interesting. It will be interesting to see how the Democrats treat nonprofits. I know that downtown Las Vegas is looking at doing an awful lot of things to entice economic development. They might be hamstrung on that if everything they do gets taxed. If you look at something like the Chipino feed in Reno for Boys and Girls Clubs, that could have an impact on them. Will they be taxed for that? There are a lot of questions right now.
Are people actually bringing that up as a solution?
No, not necessarily. I'm not saying the Democrats are doing that, but I know that the word from leadership is there are no exemptions. No one is exempt from this. So what does that mean? How high is the number of participants before you get taxed? Is it a flat tax? Is it a percentage? We're going to find this out in a couple of days.
Well, Helen, don't give them any ideas about taxing nonprofits.
No, it would be tragic if they did. But there will be an awful lot of emotion that comes out with this.
Guy, you're going to be testifying on the mining tax coming out of the Constitution.
Well, mining tax policy. That's Senate Joint Resolution 15 out of the 2011 session. I'll testify tomorrow on Assembly taxation. And essentially, I will explain how it came to pass in 1864 and why mining, as far as tax policy with mineral extraction, has an exemption, and whether that should continue to be the case 150 years later under very, very different circumstances. And, of course, that plays into the Republican, Senate Republican gambit, okay, in terms of actually raising taxes and putting that on the ballot. So SGR 15, I think, should, you know, rise or fall on its own accord. But there's also another element now riding on that in that Gamma dynamic, because everybody's talking more taxes. It's just what kind and how much.
But nobody's talking more gaming taxes, John.
Gaming has seemingly got somewhat of a pass.
No, although I don't think so.
I guess.
Well, there's an issue about this Democratic tax plan to tax entertainment inside of resorts. And in fact, Steve Wynn is supposed to be up here tomorrow meeting with legislative leaders about that.
So it's casino revenue when you're talking about entertainment, but not necessarily the actual gaming dollars.
No, the shows they put on.
Right. Well,
yeah, I think the point is gaming will likely pay more. It's just that they won't pay more on their gaming tax.
Right.
And it's interesting because when you see Genting coming here, a Malaysian company with operations in Singapore, limited operations in the United States, coming to Las Vegas, that gaming tax rate looks very, very nice. It's better to lose $1 million in Nevada for a company, or not the company, but for the gamblers to lose $1 million, than it is in a jurisdiction that maybe has a 40% or 50% tax rate.
Talking all these taxes, it's just amazing what difference 2 years makes.
Two years ago,
4 years ago, no one would even dream of talking taxes.
And maybe the governor still doesn't like the idea of people talking taxes. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Consign Furniture, we offer pickup and delivery service to make it easy and convenient for you to spruce up your home.
Let Consign Furniture help you take the guesswork out of buying or selling your furniture or household items.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway and Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
In the past, you would never find television outside its natural habitat. The family room. But now, Charter has released it.
Into the wild!
Look there, a live ESPN baseball game at the beach.
CNN in a laundromat.
Oh, True Blood on HBO are donating blood.
Now, Charter gives you over 20 digital networks available on the go, more than ever before, all at no extra charge with Charter TV.
The Disney Channel on a joke. Are you seeing this?
Oh, boy, Mattress Discounters Memorial Day sale. What's this? A queen-size Sealy Gel memory foam mattress for just $497? Mattress Discounters has the largest selection of memory foam mattresses under one roof. Comfort Pedic, Eye Comfort, Optimum, and wow, 4 years interest-free financing on the entire Tempur-Pedic Cloud Collection. Don't miss the Memorial Day sale.
Mattress Discounters.
Come to Consign Furniture and check out our new selection of household items. We have items for the whole house, plus tons of new furniture arriving daily. Come see us today. Consign Furniture. Easy way to sell, smart way to buy.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks, and on our next broadcast, we're going to have Senator Ben Kiefer from Reno. He may not be voting like some of his conservative constituents may like.
We'll see you on the next broadcast.